So our next presentation has two presenters, actually, Shelley Dahl and Shema Musa from the Michigan Public Health Institute. They'll be speaking about connecting youth to high-quality reproductive health care services in community, an adaptation of Project Connect in Detroit.
Thank you. So thank you, everybody, for staying this morning. I know it's probably a tough day because it's the last day, so... Anyway, welcome. We're going to be talking this morning about connecting youth to high-quality healthcare services in the community. This is an adaptation of Project Connect in Detroit. So, the purpose of Project Connect is to link youth to a range of teen-friendly sexual and reproductive healthcare services. One key component of linking youth to these services is the development and dissemination of a referral guide. This is also accomplished by developing and maintaining key partnerships with school staff and area providers. There are two implementation sites. One was LA, Los Angeles, and this was for 5 years, and this was 5 years actually in the field. And currently we are in Detroit, and we are... this is our second year in Detroit. Oops. Oh, I went back one. Didn't even realize. So this right here is just a model that we recently put together. It's a Project Connect process model that we developed. And we feel that these are the basic steps that you need to implement this Project Connect. So these are the basic steps that you would need to implement Project Connect. So this is what you would need. These are the basic steps that both LA and Detroit needed to implement Project Connect. I do have a slide in here a little bit later that I'll discuss, that where I'll be highlighting the specific differences between LA and Detroit. So as I said, one of the things that we have for Project Connect is the development of a referral guide. And this right here is an example of Los Angeles's referral guide that they developed. They ended up with 26 clinics on their guide. Of course, Los Angeles is a lot larger than Detroit, as you'll see a little bit later that Shema, my colleague here, is going to discuss Detroit in a little bit more detail. They updated their guide annually. And I know you can't see this very well. It's kind of hard to to see this in detail. But this purple section right here, this is a little bit different than the referral guide that we were able to develop. They were able to put contraceptives on their guide where Michigan is not able to do this. So they had male condoms, female condoms, certain specific contraceptives that they were able to put on here, where Michigan is not able to do this, and this is basically due to school administration. So speaking briefly about the Los Angeles results, they were able to reach, because they were 5 years in the field, they were able to reach over 44,000 students as in-school youth survey. They had 6 intervention schools and 6 comparison schools. And there were significant increases for the receipt of contraception, STD testing, and pregnancy testing for sexually active females. And there were significant increases for receipt of contraception for sexually active males. And then going back to the process model, Project Connect process model, just wanted to discuss the key differences that I have pointed out here in yellow. So the first one is the selection criteria. LA's main selection criteria for the clinics to be included on the referral guide was whether the clinic or provider was a good screener. And what they meant by a good screener was that the clinic screened at least 10 or more cases of chlamydia among 15 to 19-year-olds in the past year. They did have a lot more selection criteria, but this is one of their main ones. Now, going down to the second one that we have highlighted here in yellow, in LA, the referral guide was disseminated mainly through school nurses and nurse practitioners, where in Detroit, we have it disseminated mainly through coaches, teachers, social workers, and many more. The third one is the policy context that we have highlighted. In Michigan, we feel this is a huge difference. LA has a big advantage on us. There's the California Education Code that authorizes the release of students from school for the receipt of sexual and reproductive health services without parental notification and without being counted absent. So that is just a wonderful advantage that they have. And the fourth thing that we have highlighted is the data collection. In Los Angeles, they were able to measure trends and uptake of services, but not medical records and data at the student level. In Detroit, what we are doing right now is we're collecting medical record data on confidential services utilization. So those are just a few of the differences that we have noted. So program development in Detroit. So the Project Connect objective in Detroit is very similar to that of LA's. But as you'll see throughout the rest of the presentation, the objective was accomplished very differently in each location. So we have an established partnership with St. John Providence Health System, which is a very large health system in the Detroit area. And so what we did is we contacted them, and they have partnerships with several schools in the city of Detroit through the Detroit Public Schools. And so in our talks with CDC, we decided that we wanted three different school settings. We thought it would be best to have a school-based health center, a school with a full-time school nurse, and a school with no health provider, so we could get three different kinds of results. Or maybe not, who knows? So then we ask ourselves, why is Project Connect so important in Detroit? Well, poor adolescent sexual and reproductive health outcomes. Of course, this may not be just specific in Detroit. This could be almost anywhere in the United States or any large city. But also, Detroit has the highest number of gonorrhea and chlamydia cases in Michigan. I'm sorry. Also, the local healthcare infrastructure. It's also difficult for adolescents to navigate through the system to seek needed care at appropriate clinics. Next, we also have some charts here. These are rates by zip code for chlamydia and gonorrhea for 15 to 19-year-olds. We worked with the Michigan Department of Community Health. They were very wonderful in providing these for us for our presentation. Once we established our school sites, the schools, Osborne, Central, and Sviney that we were working with, basically the point I just want to make here is that we were trying to make is that the rates are actually higher than that of Michigan and the national rates that you see in the blue and in the purple. The same holds true for the HIV rates among 15 to 19 year olds by location or by zip codes. For the three schools as well here, not necessarily for Detroit, but for the three schools. So next, I have my colleague Shima, who's going to be talking about the referral guide development and evaluation in Detroit.
Good morning. So moving forward, while Connect LA's selection process was relatively straightforward, Shelley gave you an example of the good screener, we found that when we applied this in Detroit, this really only netted us a handful of clinics. So we decided, you know, we need to take a different approach. Like LA, we interviewed the clinics, but we came up with different selection criteria. So our initial selection criteria, in order for a clinic to be included on the referral guide, they had to offer general health services, STD testing and treatment, or pregnancy testing and prevention services. Their hours and their location had to be convenient, and the clinic had to be accessible by bus. And so based on these initial criteria, we included 13 clinics on the initial referral guide. And this referral guide was piloted over the summer in two schools, over summer 2011. So to verify, throughout the pilot process as well as afterward, we the Project Connect team decided to verify the information on the referral guide and to make sure that the clinics that we included on the referral guide were accessible in terms of location and friendliness, teen friendliness specifically. So we did this through conducting a second round of key informant interviews. Basically, we interviewed them a second time. We made site visits to each clinics, and we also met with practice managers and clinic directors in order to really form those key relationships that would help us as we move through the process or implementing Project Connect. Now, during these site visits, there were several issues that actually came up and kind of hindered the implementation process. We found that some clinics only accept certain Medicaid managed care plans, so this really limited the audience of teens that could visit those clinics, and this was something that we did not want. We wanted to make our all the clinics on a referral guide fail-proof so that any clinic could visit them. We also found that there was a disconnect that existed between, and currently exists still actually, between the practice management and the front desk staff. When we spoke with front desk clinic practice management, they told us that, teens could be seen without parents for confidential services, but when we actually went and spoke with the receptionist, the front desk staff, they told us that this was not the case. In practice, teens had to have parents with them. This was only at certain clinics. So we had to revise our selection criteria in order to, come up with new clinics or decrease the number of clinics on the referral guide in order to make sure that any teen could go to them regardless of insurance type and parental consent. So these are a final set of criteria. In order for a clinic to be included on the referral guide, they have to offer sexual and or reproductive health care services. The adolescent can be seen, the clinic has to allow adolescents to be seen without parental consent for confidential services. The clinic had to accept an adolescent regardless of insurance status or type. And of course, the clinic had to be teen friendly. And of course, there were other criteria. So this is the actual referral guide that we've developed. This is the front and the back side of it. Looking at the front side of it, our main goals as we created this clinic or this referral guide was to not only make it aesthetically pleasing in terms of using school colors and school logo, and if you look at the top right-hand corner of the front side where it says Project Connect and a little heart, this was actually created by one of the teens in one of the Detroit schools that we're partnering with. We created this logo contest, or artwork contest, rather, to encourage students to really take part and in this whole Project Connect implementation within the schools, as well as to get some student buy-in. So that's aesthetically pleasing, the looks part of the referral guide. In terms of the specific information, we wanted to make sure that the language that we used was readable or accessible to students, and that we put as much information as possible to help the students really make a decision about what clinic they wanted to go to and for what service. So we included information about types of general health services, whether or not birth control was available at the clinics, whether or not the clinic offered STD and pregnancy testing, the hours of operation, the payment options, bus and driving distance, bus ride as well. Now, we also included a map. This was different from the initial referral guide that we included, that we created. The second version of the referral guide has this map on it, also to help students make their way to the clinic. So now that we have the referral guide, it's important to disseminate. Otherwise, what's the point of it? So we're using three different main methods for dissemination. The one that we're focusing the most on is staff members, because staff members have that connection with students. We've trained staff members at all three schools on how to discuss a referral guide with students, how to help them make a decision about which clinic to visit, as well as minor consent laws in Michigan. This was actually during the first referral guide trainings that we did during the pilot process. We found that there were a lot of questions that came up with the staff members about confidential services. Can we speak to the teens, that sort of thing. So we decided to include that in our second referral guide trainings. We also passed out and explained the referral guides at STD screening blitzes that were held at two of the schools. And the posters were strategically placed around different parts of the schools. Okay. Shelley gave you the results of the LA evaluation. In terms of Detroit, we're still in the process of data collection, so we don't actually have results to present to you. But I can tell you that the types of the evaluation that we're doing, LA did in-school data collection. We're focusing more on in-clinic data collection. So at four of the clinics, we're passing out these youth surveys that ask students about what schools they're attending, as well as whether or not they use the referral guide. And then at two of these clinics, we're actually linking the responses from the youth survey to their medical records to see whether or not they received what types of confidential services they received, that sort of thing. Now, for these groups that are interested in replicating this in whatever city or for whatever group, several things to take into consideration. First of all, whether or not your city or your region has a clinical infrastructure that's substantial enough to support referred adolescents, such as teen-friendly clinics and providers. You need to also make sure that you have some sort of strong partnership and network with stakeholders in the community, staff members, community organizations, that sort of thing. I need to, of course, allocate enough staff time for, you know, development, training, evaluation, and upkeep of the referral guide, especially since clinics are, particularly in Detroit, clinics are constantly closing and moving and that sort of thing. So it's really important to allocate staff time to upkeep. And, it's important to also work with your stakeholders in the community to be able to identify local barriers and work around them. I'd like to acknowledge our school partners and our clinic partners and the rest of the Project Connect staff. Thank you.
So we have time for a few questions.
Hi, I'm Carla Embiss. I work at the STD clinic in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And I had a question as to whether these referral guides were also available online, since so many young people mm-hmm. would be getting their information like that.
Yeah, so currently they're not, but we're actually working on potential future funding opportunities that we might be able to make this some sort of app on the phones and that sort of thing. So currently no, but thank you. That's a great idea.
Hi, Dawn Middleton from Ciccatelli Associates in New York City. Great presentation.
Thank
really
you.
Loved this and been following Project Connect. Can you talk to me about how long in time, months or a year, it took you to develop the network, do the key informant surveys and all that?
Okay. So in total, I mean, we started this project November of 2010. The final referral guide, the version that we have right now, was probably finished in December of 2011. So that first year up until September, I would say, was the initial referral guide, that pilot process. And then from September through December, that's when we really, did the site visits, connected with school leadership, different clinics. So probably over a year, I would say, in terms of planning.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Susan Walker. I work for the Public Health Department in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and in fact, I'm tasked with sustaining the Project Connect provider guides. But
okay.
So maybe we can talk afterwards, but I was mostly wondering, so it looked like one school did have a school nurse. So did you start with, I was curious why you distributed mostly through coaches and teachers, and probably obviously because most of the schools didn't have nurses, but in that case, did you start with the nurse?
So our referral guide trainings actually included the nurse. I mean, our key contact in both of the schools that have nurses are the nurses. And they were the ones who reached out to other teachers as well to include them in the referral guide training.
You asked them to kind of help
you.
Yep. And then it wasn't clear, do you have a poster form and a tear-off form?
So this, the front and the back, that the poster actually looks exactly like this, just without the front and the back, obviously. The tear-off forms are just, this is the front side, this is the back side. So we do have those different methods, those different types. Yeah.
We can actually send you a copy of what the actual referral guide looks like, because the tear-off form is at the top of the, where it says Teen Health Resources. It's going to be at the top of it, so that's what tracks. Like how much time you've spent with them, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so, this is in terms of the staff member that talks with them.
Yeah, staff. That talks with them. And so we go monthly and we pick those up so we can track how long and how many times. So I can send, we can talk. Yeah. I can send you that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.